And what was that saying?
We were asking about your parents, who your parents were, and where you grew up and things like that.
Okay. When I was very small, we lived on West Broad Street in Falls Church, which was the main street at that time. It was in the city of Falls Church. And it was the main bus line that, you know, came down that street going to Washington. It would go from Falls Church down Lee Highway across M Street and I guess it was and down to 11th and E. That was the bus route at that time from Falls Church. And my mother for a long time did not work, but when she did, she was a beautician. And my father was the head farmer of a farm there owned by Matty Gundry, which was associated and connected with a mental institution. So
would they grow the crops to feed the people at the mental institution?
Oh, yes.
That,
okay. Oh, yes.
And this was located in Falls Church?
Yes, it was. It took a lot of space on West Broad Street.
Okay. Is it still there today?
No. That the lady was elderly when I was a little girl, and when she died, they sold it. And they have what's known as Winter Hill in that area. I think maybe the post office and all those places, you know, took that up. And then they have the main one of the main streets is named after her. Her name was Matty Gundry.
Okay. And so you said your mother was a hairdresser. Did she do hair out of your home, or she
has? Yes. She had a shop connected with the house.
And what about your mother's parents, Jenny and Charles Robinson? What about them?
I don't know what kind of work my grandfather did, but I don't think she worked. Okay, they lived on what's known as Arlington Boulevard before they cut the boulevard through. You see, the boulevard came through in the 30s, the early 30s. Right, Ex?
It was either 30s or 40s because...
it must have been the 30s because we were little children and we'd play on the porch and they had it was a big white house with green shutters and they had a balcony that went around three-fourths of the house. And the children would, you know, play on the porch. And
it must have been late 30s then.
It must have been. It was in the 30s.
Because I remember some of the people who worked on that road rumored at our house. I was large enough to know what was going on, you know, and the people who lived with us. So it had to be late 30s then.
So I don't know what my grandfather did. But they had 11 children, I think. My mother was, you know, the youngest of the 11. So, and then when the road came through and my grandfather died, they sold the house and it was owned by the Governor Motel. The people who owned the Governor Motel built where the house was, built this, the hotel for his house was.
Now, Dee, you said your mother had 11 sisters and brothers, and she was the youngest.
She was the youngest.
Are they still around in this area?
Oh, no.
No?
Many of them went to Philadelphia, Atlantic City. Some of them died young.
Philadelphia.
Huh?
Philadelphia.
Yeah, right, Philadelphia.
And what about your father's people? I think you mentioned something about them.
My father was from Leesburg, Virginia. And he came here with the stonemasons to build the Falls Church Bank, which was on the corner of Broad Street and Lee Highway.
So he was not originally from this area?
No.
Where was he from originally?
Leesburg.
Okay, I thought you meant before he came to Leesburg. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where he was born there.
Okay.
And he was born... that was Loudoun County. I'm not sure of the exact location, what it's called. But he came here with the stonemasons to build the bank, which was, I think, was the only bank in this area. And so he stayed here, married my mother, and stayed.
Now, how many sisters and brothers do you have?
I have one brother.
One brother.
I had one brother.
Okay.
He recently died.
Okay.
Leon Henderson. Mm-hmm. So this is his wife, Exa Henderson.
And what can you tell us about Tenor Hill? Just, did you grow up on Tenor Hill?
Oh, no. I grew up on Broad Street.
Okay.
And then my mother and father built a house on Annandale Road. Mm-hmm. And so I lived most of my life there. Mm-hmm. But I'm familiar with Tenor Hill.
Mm-hmm. And what can you tell me about Tenor Hill?
Not too much. I can't think of anything, you know, that I could say about it, other than it had a lot. There were a lot of tenors that lived.
What did it look like? Can you describe what it looked like?
Just ordinary looking, mm-hmm. just average looking houses, I guess, and where most of the tenors lived. That's all I could. And it was a very short area. I don't think the street was more than a block long, mm-hmm. which dead end into like a wooded area.
Did you ever go, and I'll ask this question for either of you, did you ever, what did you know about the tenors? Did you hear people talk about the tenors, who they were, what they did, how they made a living? Was that part of just the conversations that took place maybe at your dinner table or at school with friends or something like that? Anything at all? No?
Okay. They did have a beautician over there too, Miss Elsie.
Yeah, it was years after my mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had a... Yeah, right. Miss Elsie Tenor was a beautician there on Tenor Street.
And I think some of those people.
And they had a barber shop there too.
Yeah.
Her husband was a barber.
So right up on Tenor Hill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And some of those people worked in the stone quarry. Over
is that there. Right? I didn't know that.
I don't remember which ones, but some of them did. Mm-hmm.
And I remember Billy Carpenter was he was a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a farmer too, from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that much about, you know, about them.
So how did most? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say most of those people belonged to the Methodist Church,
mm-hmm.
down over in that area. It's not too far from Tennessee. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what church did folks that didn't belong to the Methodist Church go to?
Second Baptist.
Mm-hmm. So what do you then remember at all about growing up in Falls Church? Any memories, any fond memories of what life was like in Falls Church? And I asked this question once before and see how Miss Essie is going to respond to life growing up in Falls
Church. Well, the thing that I remember, because as I said, when I was small, I lived on Broad Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the main street where the stores and things, you'd go like maybe a block away from my home, or a couple of, equal to about two blocks away, mm-hmm. from my home. And then you'd start the stores, which would go all the way down across the intersection of Broad Street and Lee Highway. And you had like a Piggly Wiggly, mm-hmm. an A&P, mm-hmm. and you had a drugstore in that area, Ware's Drugstore. And they had, I remember, a sewing shop. I'm not sure how long that stayed there. And they had, then they had a cross section, mm-hmm. on Lee Highway, and they had stores there too, and a filling station there, a corner filling station. I remember that was the commercial. They had a DGS,
mm-hmm.
and which was probably owned by the Dopkins.
Dopkins.
Mm-hmm. So could blacks go into those stores and shop?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
There was no problem going into the stores.
Okay.
Although many things were segregated, mm-hmm. We did not have a problem here going into the stores. And I think the biggest thing that happened was when the Five and Dime came to Falls Church.
Mm-hmm.
That was about
And
the
when was that?
Thing.
Do you remember about what time that was?
I know I was in elementary school, but I don't remember, mm-hmm. exactly. Because, you had a lot of things that were 5 cents and a dime, So that was interesting.
So what would you do on a Saturday morning? What would be a typical Saturday morning for either one of you?
Maybe baseball game or something like that. Mm-hmm. That was about all we had around here, mm-hmm. for entertainment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That they had a local team, from the community.
Anything for the... Did the girls play baseball?
Not at that time, okay. No. Just the boys.
Okay. So you would go out and cheer the boys on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we played croquet, and they had... and the guys played horseshoes. Mm-hmm. This was things that the young people did, mm-hmm. And they would get together and meet at each other's houses, mm-hmm. It was, you know, everybody was like family. You could go wherever.
And what about Girl Scouts or clubs or anything like that? Did you do any of those things?
Ms. Hudson had, okay. had the Girl Scouts club, Mrs. Viola Hudson. And she, so I belonged, I guess most of the girls belonged to that. Then they had the Boy Scouts. Who was in charge of that? Do you remember?
Not really. All in Hicks, I know, worked with them later on, but I don't know who started.
And in the summer, there was a branch behind the James Lee area where the Lees lived, where James Lee lived, and the kids could go swimming in the branch. It was, you know.
So it was their private pond, sort of like their private pond or on their land?
Yeah, but everybody was like family. Anybody, you know, anybody could go anywhere at that time. And it was very safe for children in those days. There was, you know, we didn't have a crime problem here, you know, like you would have today with the many thousands of people moving in.
Tell me a little about, a little bit more, and I'll ask this question to Ms. Essie too, about just your experiences in going to school. I asked Ms. Henderson about this already, but what was your experience like in going to school, elementary, middle school, high school?
It wasn't that bad, if I remember correctly. Of course, I guess she told you we all went to this two-room school.
No, I didn't tell about elementary school yet.
Oh, okay. It was a two-room school. I think it was called a colored...
The Falls Church.
Falls Church Elementary School or something like that. And we had two rooms, and there were certain grades in one room and then higher grades in the next room. And
from kindergarten to third in this Lola Simons room, and fourth through seventh in this Nellie Henderson's room.
And I just remember going and doing a lot of, well, we studied a lot, but we played a lot too. And of course it was all black, segregated.
Did you all ever think much about the fact that the schools were segregated? That did you talk about that? Did your parents talk about it?
Not at that time. No. When we got older, you know, we thought about it because there were schools around that we couldn't go to. We had to either go to Manassas or into Washington to high school, junior high.
So by the time you got to junior high school and high school, was this something that you talked about with your parents? Or did you talk about it with each other?
No, because parents made a decision in those days. You had no choice. They would make a decision where you were going to school. And because Washington schools were accredited, you know, they decided that this would be best. And so most of the kids that left here, Miss Nellie Henderson was one of the best teachers in the world. And we had discipline in school in those days. Ms. Saunders would spank the little children when they would misbehave. And, of course, her daughter got more spankings than anybody. And by the time we, you know, got into junior high school, we were so far advanced until most of the kids were honor students when they, you know, would go to junior high school because it was like a review, you know. So, but the schools in Washington were accredited.
I think they might have, the school in Manassas might have been accredited too.
I think they said it wasn't at that time.
You don't think so?
I think that's why a lot of kids, you know, had problems getting into colleges because of accreditation.
So what then for the for white students that lived in this area, they went to Manassas?
No,
they didn't go to Manassas.
Had,
wasn't all black.
All
it wasn't all black. So they went to the local school.
Yes.
And blacks, if they wanted to go to school around here, would have to go to Manassas.
Yes, and sometimes they get up before dark. I mean, they would get up before dawn, and the bus wouldn't come back sometimes until at dark at night. You know, it was
a long day
for, you know, traveling from here to Manassas. In those days, they did not have open highways like they have today.
So those of you that went to school in Washington, D.C., how did you get to and from school?
Well, one of the teachers who taught over there would pick us up at the Center Falls Church and take us to the schools there. He taught at Francis Junior High School. So we'd all go to school with him for the first 2 years. And then we'd go. We would ride with him to Washington that far and catch the bus to the high school. You see. catch the P Street bus mm-hmm. and go straight to the high school.
Well, 3 cents.
That's a good price.
3 cents school tickets. And 3 cents school tickets were so important in those days compared to the salaries that right. people make now, the salaries that they made then. We would save our tickets and walk across the bridge from 24th and P across to Roslyn, mm-hmm. you know, saving our school tickets because it didn't take long, you know, we were young and the walk was good for mm-hmm. us, you know. So, but the bus came down K Street, M Street, it was M Street, mm-hmm. come down M Street. The kids would get on there sometimes. It cost more to ride across the bridge, so mm-hmm. we would walk across the bridge and it was cheaper to get on in Roslyn and ride right home. Mm-hmm. We'd come right into mm-hmm. Falls Church.
Getting back to the elementary school, the principal of the colored high school, the colored elementary school that we went to, I don't know whether you've heard it or not, but the city of Falls Church has named a school after her.
I did read that in the paper. Yeah. Someone told, I think Edwin told me, and I read it in the paper too.
That's her grandson. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So did you all ever give much thought at all to the fact that you were having to make that much effort to go to school in Washington, D.C.? Was it just not something you thought about? You just did it because your parents said you're going to go to school here? Did you talk about it among yourselves?
And it wasn't a problem. Okay. It wasn't a problem because we could get up and in 5 minutes' time we could be there to meet our, you know, ride mm-hmm. to Washington. And then he'd bring us home in the evening so we'd walk home. Mm-hmm. So that was no problem, transportation.
Mm-hmm. If you had to say, as you were growing up, maybe by the time you were in middle school and high school, if you had to think about who the leaders were in your church or in your community, in your social clubs, who would you say those people would have been? Were there people who stood out as kind of community leaders, people who were kind of the movers and shakers in your community who got things done? Are there any people that you would describe as the movers and shakers?
Mm-hmm. You would take people like Reverend Costner mm-hmm. in my time. Reverend Costner was a great leader mm-hmm. and was well known in the courts in Fairfax County and highly respected. He was just a very, very nice pastor. He was pastor of Second Baptist Church. And Mr. Ollie Tenner, the mm-hmm. teacher at Francis Junior High, they went to a lot of the meetings, you know, from the county and they would let everybody know what the rulings were and the laws were and the changes and so mm-hmm. forth. And they helped with a lot of legal things that had to be done. Mm-hmm. in the community. And who else? Reverend Costner, Mr. Ollie, and who else?
Those were the two I remember the most. Oh, and of course, Miss Nellie Henderson worked with the NAACP. You know, she would always be around trying to get people to join the NAACP.
And her husband was
more
president.
So than her husband. Yeah. I think they give a lot of credit to him, but mm-hmm. she did it more so than mm-hmm. him. But he was affiliated with the schools in Washington. I think he was the head of Division 13 or something for physical education.
Physical education, right.
Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. That's Dr. E.B. Henderson, which I'm sure you've probably mm-hmm. heard of. Mm-hmm.
So what did that mean for the leaders? And I'll ask a question. How much, or maybe, did the civil rights movement impact your life at all in any way? Did you know? Were you keeping up with the news as things were changing, as the world was kind of changing around you? Were you listening to Dr. King on the radio, on television? Did that make an impact at all in your life personally?
Oh yeah,
well, I think it did. But even before that, you remember Reverend Costner and them took us to the theaters to picket and to the carnivals and
I was in school at that time and I can remember coming down the highway for the State Theater, and I can remember Reverend Costner and Exe, and I mean she really took part in a lot of community mm-hmm. things, you know. And I did too, because I went to a lot of the meetings that that they had, you know, the county meetings. I would go with Mr. Holland, in the days that he was very active in community, he and I went to a lot of sessions, you know, legal sessions and so forth. And Mr. Holland was very well known, and he was voted Man of the Year, I think, at one time, some kind of honor they gave him.
Now, is he still living?
Mr. Holland. No, Mr. Holland. Okay. But he was a very active and a very nice person. Mm-hmm. He was a very active person. So, anyhow, he and I went to many, because I retired 30-some years ago, and so, you know, I would travel a lot with him. Mm-hmm. He was such a gentleman. Mm-hmm. So.
Ms. Exley, tell me a little about your picketing and the things that you did at the movie theater and other
Well, actually, we would just go up there and, you know, we'd have the picket, the folks with the
signs,
plaques and, mm-hmm. and different things, and people threw eggs at us and mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? I didn't hear that. Is that right?
Yeah. But
and then the carnivals were segregated too.
Yeah.
So Axley Henderson, Beatrice Kenner, mm-hmm. Rosie, who's ex's sister, mm-hmm. and Doris Ramey, and I, we went to the carnival to break down that type of segregation. Mm-hmm. And I remember a man named Herbert Knox who ran around and told all the people, don't let them play because they're not supposed to, you know, be at our carnival. And the carnival. Yeah, and so we just went on and ignored
it. How old were you when
we were teenagers?
Teenagers.
Mm-hmm. We just went on and bought tickets. And so the man said, look, we're going to be here 3 days. Anybody who has the money can buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, and that broke up all of his, you know, conversation. So then that broke down the carnival barriers. Mm-hmm.
Were you ever afraid when you were picketing, afraid of what people might do or how they might retaliate?
No, because the people here weren't really violent, mm-hmm. you see what I'm saying. They weren't really that violent, mm-hmm. you know. Maybe some of them were that threw eggs and things, I don't know. But basically the people were very, you know, very kind, like, you know.
Because we both of us lived on Annandale Road, and everybody that passed by there, you'd be familiar with mm-hmm. them. You'd know them, both mm-hmm. black and white. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just didn't have a whole lot of problems.
It's just like the stores. You knew everybody who owned the stores. Mm-hmm. You knew the people at the banks, you know. And, you know, it was just Falls Church was so small in my day, early days. It was called a village. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. how small it was. It wasn't large enough to be a town mm-hmm. or a city like it is now, you see.
So then when you went and you were picketing at the movie theaters and picketing at the carnival and you ran into whites that you knew, how did they respond to you? Because if it was a small community and everybody knew everybody, did they respond to you in any way? Did they say anything to you?
They would speak to
you. Yeah, at the carnival, we had no problem mm-hmm. once we got inside. Mm-hmm. We only had problems with the one man who tried to get them to, you know, don't sell them tickets, mm-hmm. he would say. And they said, we're going to be here 3 days. Anybody who has the money can buy a ticket. And that, you know, that crossed out his
problem. But then at the theater, we couldn't go in there at all, mm-hmm. but when we finally got in, they put us upstairs, mm-hmm. you know.
In the balcony.
But
and you were okay with that?
For the time being. Yeah, but it wasn't too long after that before they, you know, opened up the whole mm-hmm. place.
Mm-hmm. So you all have seen a lot of changes in Falls Church in your life. What do you think has been the biggest change from the time that you've been living in Falls Church up until now?
Just everything. Mm-hmm. The roads, we had dirt roads.
Yeah, Annandale Road from Lehigh, Broad Street, no, from Hillwood Avenue to Route 50 was just one lane, you know, back and forth, to and from mm-hmm. lane street for a long time. Okay, I took a petition to the Board of Supervisors to widen that street mm-hmm. that they were supposed to have widened for many years and never did. Mm-hmm. And it was just in that one section where the street was just still single lane traffic. No sidewalks, no markings or anything. You know. So then, so Mr. Babson, who was chairman of the Board of Supervisors, said, I want that street done now, you know. And he ordered that. Okay, they didn't do anything about it. So then, I guess it was in 1974, 73, I guess it was, I wrote a letter to the commissioner. The letter that I wrote, and I was sending drop copies to everybody, the governor, the VDOT, the senators, Action Line, Washington Post, or whatever it was called at that time. And so when I read the letter to him and explained what the problem was, he said, hold that letter, please don't send that letter out yet. He said, you tell Mr. Britt to call me. He was head of VDOT here. And I said, well, Mr. I talked to him. He said he is not going to widen that street. He said, you tell him, I said, to call me right away. I said, okay. So I called him and I said, Mr. Britt, I talked to the commissioner in Richmond, and he told me to tell you to call him immediately. The next morning, they had men out on Amityville Road measuring to widen the street. So evident, I don't remember the commissioner's name, but I know it was in 1973. And so they started widening it from then on because they had no sidewalks or anything. So that's how that came about. And I remember Hilda Hicks, who was the patrol officer for the school, she was very active, and she sent a letter, a protest letter to the Board of Supervisors when I went before the board. So anyhow, that helped out a lot. And then they had petitions and all, but Mr. Britt had said he was not going to widen that street until the commissioner, I was ready to send the letter off, you know. And the next morning, they had men out there measuring to widen the street.
So you were both pretty active in the community. Did you, as you grew and you had your own families, did you get your children involved in community activities? And
no, children
like
don't
as they get older. As they get older.
Oh, your children. And Laverne is still very active.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
An event as long as she was here, but she wasn't here that long. But, and I still am active in the
community. Oh, yes, she's very active.
As a matter of fact, we had a meeting last night with people from Fairfax. You were over at James Lee and you see the renovation, but before that, it wasn't that large. But there's a little bit of everything going on over there now, but they want to have more people come in. And but it's nice, I guess, because they think it may be underused, but I don't think so. Anytime you have to stand in line to use the fitness room, you know, it's not underused.
That's true. Any other changes that you can think of that have taken place in the community, the roads, schools?
Well, it's just nice to be able to walk into any place that you want to and know you're going to get what you want or...
I feel very comfortable.
Feel comfortable doing it. So that's nice. And then you can live any place you want to. And before we had the ghetto, well, they didn't call it a ghetto, but all the black people were... mostly on this side of the street, and, you know, in one area. But now they're all over the place, everywhere.
And when the black people were pretty much on once in one area, were people divided among the blacks by class?
No.
Could you tell who was wealthy, who was poor?
You knew, but it never
it was not a problem, right? Because all kids played together. All, you know, all families, you know, kind of lived together. You could go in anybody's house and feel like you were at home, you know. Because all children were treated, you know, like they were family.
So even the tenors, people felt comfortable mingling with the tenors, or did you mingle with the tenors, mingle with the Hendersons? So that was a part of what you did too.
But the tenors kind of lived a little distance away from
walking distance,
about a quarter of a mile, I guess. But, you know, it was a different area. This area was all... mainly together, you know, those that lived off of Annandale Road, you see.
And what about you mentioned that, oh, I think I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that? Maybe somebody can help me. I was about to ask another question, and I think I lost it.
That sounds like me. You're too young.
I don't know. I can't remember what that next question was. Maybe it will.
You wanted to know if we were associated with the Tenors.
Well, I was asking about the Tenors, and I can't remember something else I was going
to
ask.
We all went to the same school, but, mm-hmm. you know, all the Tenors.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Churches yeah. about. Tell me about
most
a little bit about the churches.
To the Methodist, to the Methodist Church. Churches.
Yeah, those on Tenor Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, but the others mostly belong to the Second Baptist Church, and then I think there were a few who left Second Baptist and started a Third Baptist mm-hmm. Church, which they call Little Three. But which is still there, I believe. I don't know how many members mm-hmm. they have, but it's still up there.
So have there been primarily two churches for blacks in the area since you can remember, or was there a time when there was ever one church and then there became two?
In my day, two.
Yeah. So always two.
Mm-hmm.
There have always been two.
But now, and that's another thing that has changed, because there are black people who go to other churches all around, mm-hmm. white churches mm-hmm. in the area.
That were once
in the Catholic Church and all.
So that's changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, how many members do you know about how many members each church, Second Baptist, and so was there a First Baptist? Because you have Second, uh-uh. so never First Baptist. Why not a First Baptist?
It might have been someplace else. I don't know.
I don't think that really matters because they have Macedonia all over the place. They mm-hmm. have a lot of churches say the same name. And there is a Second Baptist in Clifton.
So there's no significance in it being Second Baptist that you know
so.
Of.
I don't know. It would have to be somebody who was here probably before we were, and I think they'd all be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So
tell me a little about your working lives. What did you do for work? And you told me you went to Howard University. What did you do when you finished at Howard?
Well, I always wanted to work in a drugstore, mm-hmm. so I worked there for one day, and then I quit. I was serving ice cream and making milkshakes, and it was a difficult job for me, so I quit. And then I would go with friends of mine to file applications for employment, mm-hmm. so the lady next door went to Arlington Hall to file an application because she had lost her job in Washington. I went with her, and so they insisted that I file an application, so I filed one. And they hired me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't interested in a job, but then I worked there until I retired.
And what were you doing there?
I worked for the, it became the National Security Agency. Okay. And so I worked there until I retired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what did you do there?
Oh, clerical, technical, mm-hmm. whatever they had. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked many jobs there.
What about you, Miss Eggs?
Well, let's see, which one?
She worked at the Pentagon.
I started out, at the Pentagon in the government, and I worked at the Veterans Administration. Both of these were clerical jobs. And then I worked in private industry. Mm-hmm. I went to... I didn't go to a four-year college. But I went to Department of Agriculture graduate school and Library of Congress, and I took library science courses, and I became a librarian. And I worked for a research firm. I think up there it's now called, I don't know what it's called now, but it was Melpar. Mm-hmm. And then when I left there, I went to... another research firm, and the name changed so many times until I can't keep up with it. Well, I started with Bionetics, and then they kept changing it. I worked for Litton Industries mm-hmm. and Bionetics, and when I left, I think it was called Axo Nobel. Mm-hmm. I worked with them as a librarian. So that's about the extent of it. But the other jobs I had were clerical mm-hmm. jobs. At the Pentagon, I worked for the Adjutant General's office, and that was dealing with the Army records and stuff like that. And let's see, what else have I worked? I've worked several places.
Were your parents still living when you worked at the Pentagon?
Yes.
Now, how proud were they of the fact that you had a federal job at the Pentagon?
Well, they were really proud, and because I didn't want to take the examination for the job. And they said, "You're going to take it." And I said, "Okay, well, I know I can't pass it because I think Mrs. Cosmo had taken it. She didn't pass. I know I won't pass." So I took it and I passed. And, of course, they were very proud that I, got a job down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
So a librarian, what do you like to read?
Newspaper. I read a lot. That's the only thing. That's one of the things I miss about my job, was because on the last job it was a medical library, and of course I would read everything and know everything about everything. Well, not know everything, but try to. And I really miss that, because everything that would come across my desk, I would try to read it. And the medical magazines, especially when I hear them on the radio or TV talking about Journal of
American
Journal of Medicine, yes. And a bunch of them I'm familiar with, and I think, oh, I miss that magazine so much. But I would not buy them, but I do miss them. Mm-hmm. But then I don't go to the library to read them either.
Do you read much now other than the newspaper?
I do read some, yeah. And when a new book comes out, I'll go and buy it, and they're all stacked up for me to read someday.
Okay. I know how that is. And Miss Juanita, what about you? What do you do in your spare time now?
Well,
you like
reading,
to read?
No, that's not one of my choices. I like looking at the pictures with the captions, you see. I was an editor in the federal government for years, and I had to read every day all day. I do not enjoy reading. To me, it's a chore. So anyhow, I like going places and, traveling, whatever. The last cruise I think I went on, I went with Exit.
And where did you go? Where did you
go? Was it Mexico? Mexico. Oh. And we stopped off at the different islands, But I've been on many cruises. I love a cruise. That's my favorite. That's my favorite vacation.
That sounds good.
But I have traveled a lot, too, because
my husband
has grown. He loved to travel.
He was never
And his job caused him to, travel a lot. And I know that a lot of the places that I've got to go to, I would not have gone had it not been, that he worked for that organization.
What's your most favorite place that you've been to, if you had to pick one or two?
Hawaii. San Diego. I just love those places.
Warm places.
Yeah.
Hey, did you all have anything else you'd like to share with us? Is there anything you think I missed?
Okay. I was going to tell you about my granddaughter, but since she said you've talked to my daughter.
Your Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech granddaughter. I was really pleased. And I don't know what she told you, now she graduated summa cum laude. And she'd also been inducted into the Phi Beta Kappa.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And
she just graduated this year?
Yeah,
this month. This week.
What's her name again?
Adrienne Yvette Miller.
Just trying to see if I can pull that name.
She wasn't there that long. She was over there 2 years.
If she was there 2 years, I may not, because I've been out of Blacksburg for 2 years, so I may not have
But
come
she,
across. Now, I did have a student named Adrienne, but that was at least 3 years
she
ago.
She was in the School of Engineering, computer science.
Well, that's fabulous.
I was really pleased, because I knew that she'd been a good student, but I had no idea. So when I got there, I said to Yvette, "There's Adrienne." She said, "Yeah." I said, "What's that white ribbon she's got across her?" So, she said, "All of the honor students have those." I said, "Excuse me."
What does she plan to do now?
Well, she has a job.
Oh, she's
at IBM.
Okay. Great.
She's some kind of a test engineer or something.
And her brother has a degree in computer science. He's working with NASA. And
Boeing.
And her other granddaughter, who is also my niece, who stays with me most of the time, she's getting a degree in computer science.
All
raises scientists and mathematicians. That's great.
Well, now Adrienne's minor is math. Math and business. I think she too.
That's a good combination.
But Shantae, she won't tell you what she's doing.
She's very quiet. Very quiet.
But I know that she's, majoring in computer science. I'll be just as proud of her when she gets that degree.
She has about two more course at the time.
She's got a last one.
So what do you think that you all have done then to produce grandkids and nieces and nephews that go on to be so successful? Because you know, I'm sure you
write
some part in it.
We must have done something right, yeah. But we just encourage them to do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't pick, we don't select for them and say, you should be this, you should be whatever is going to make you comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like I tell my niece, the one that stays with me most of the time, I tell her that, you know, do what's going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. You know, don't worry about what the rest of the world is doing. Because we'll be here for you regardless, right. You know.
Sounds like good advice. Mm-hmm.
But I've been very happy with all mm-hmm. all four of my grandchildren. Mm-hmm.
Which are my nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm. Let me see, one out of Virginia Tech. Oh, no, wait a minute. Yeah, one out of Virginia Tech, two out of University of Virginia, and one will be coming out of Norfolk State. And my daughters... one out of Virginia Tech and one out of Virginia State University. And I don't know, just
and they graduating with us.
That's fabulous.
Yes, yes. Well, when Laverne, that's my youngest, came out of Virginia State with cum laude, I thought, oh, wow. And then when Nathan came out summa cum laude, I said, wow.
Getting better and better. Better.
And I know that my husband would have been very proud mm-hmm. of all of them. Mm-hmm. And my oldest grandchild graduated from UVA, and she's at Howard now, trying to be a director or producer of film or something, but she's doing very well in that too.
They have a very good communications program at Howard. It's
yeah,
internationally.
Yeah, that's what she says. Mm-hmm. Sure. She'll be coming out soon.
With the master's.
Yeah, with the master's. Mm-hmm. So,
and like my son, then whatever he wanted to do was okay with me, mm-hmm. you know. And he stayed in. He went. He joined the army, and then he stayed there 15 years. Came out, went to work for the State Department. Mm-hmm. Didn't care for that job, so he went to work for the post office. Mm-hmm. So now he's always been on his own. Ever mm-hmm. since, when you leave here, you're on your own.
Right.
You know. So that's the way that's the way that goes. Mm-hmm. So all the kids have gone away, and they're on their own, and I think they're able to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I got one of the questions I have, being a younger person, is sort of what advice would you give to the younger children now, today, or something that a lifelong lesson that they should keep with them?
They should do whatever is going to make them comfortable. I don't think parents should select for children. Mm-hmm. They should tell them right from wrong and what's, you know, my thing is, if I have something to tell the children that I think they really need to know, I can always find it in the Bible. I'll right. go and underline it in red, and mm-hmm. I'll say, oh, I pulled this out for you to read, you know. And they, you know, it usually has an impact on them. In fact, sometimes the kids will call and say, where is it in the Bible that it says, mm-hmm. you know, certain things? And I think that's a good guidance.
It sounds like my mother.
Yeah.
She does.
The Lord said, I am the way, mm-hmm. the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. Follow me. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's the way you need to do. Because a lot of the people, the Bible tells us, at the end of time when the world is on fire, the birds are going to eat the flesh of kings and poor men, mm-hmm. you see. So you can't look at somebody who's, you know, on top and say, I want my children to follow
right.
them. You want them to do what's right and let them make their choices. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way mm-hmm. for children to live. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, they usually turn out better because they're contented with being
right.
what they want to be.
That's like good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I must tell you, too, that I've got my first great-grandchild.
Oh,
oh.
Yeah.
Past 2 weeks.
So a new one. Congratulations.
So I have to thank you. So I had to go to Texas to visit her.
Is it a boy or a girl?
Girl.
Okay.
Girl.
She's a dog.
She is a dog. I bet.
Yeah.
We can go ahead and turn it.